Post-election 2016, I've talked to a lot of people and heard a lot of rumors of people fleeing the country. And I had a long conversation with several good friends that are actually Canadian residents that currently live in my neighborhood, right in Arizona. And it was interesting to hear their perspective on what they think everyone who threatens to move north of the border is going to find that's different from what we have here in America. I've got good friends who have relocated to South America, and the country of Uruguay has come up on more than one occasion as a highly ideal location to relocate. But unfortunately, those of my friends that have considered it have all relocated. Now, ironically, they relocated to Costa Rica, but they're not available to visit. And at lunch, at a business lunch this week, I was having dinner with a man who said his niece is moving to Uruguay. I stopped the entire conversation and I said, you have to put me in touch with her. I've got to know the whole story. So I'd like to introduce our listening audience to Ashley Colby from Chicago, who has just recently married in the last, what, Ashley, 5 or 6 years?
4 years.
Okay,
yep.
4 years ago. You have a child.
Two children.
And we're leaving south side of Chicago and moving to where?
We are moving to a small farm, 9 acres, in Colonia, Uruguay. I mean, I'm going to say it the American way, Uruguay,
okay.
Not Uruguay.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
the
right.
way they say it there.
Okay, I appreciate it. All right, so we're a Chicago gal. Your mom and dad are engaged in what vocations?
My father is a Chicago fireman, and my mother is a physical therapist assistant.
So nothing in their industry would necessarily plant the wild seed in your heart to travel the world.
Oh, no.
Okay.
They think I'm as weird as everybody else.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of that weirdness. Where did the travel bug bite you? Did you end up growing up entirely in Chicago?
I did. I spent my whole childhood in Chicago, and the Chicago Fire Department requires that you live within the city limits, so I've been on the south side of Chicago my whole life. Never really traveled any place besides Michigan and Florida my whole childhood, but when I went to college, I got an opportunity to study abroad. And that was my first time out of the United States, and it was in Rome. And just experiencing that culture and that place. First of all, you've got the climate, quite different from Chicago, but the food and the way of life, the slow pace, it sort of bit me that there are other places, there are other ways to live. And so.
And you're studying what at this point?
At this point, I'm studying film. But study abroad was part of a core class load that I could take. I had to study some kind of civilization, so I studied Roman civilization.
Okay, and that is a course that takes you to Rome for a semester?
Yes, for an entire semester. At University of Chicago is where I went, and it was quarters, so I went the fall quarter, and we studied, you know, Renaissance history in Rome, going to see the Sistine Chapel and studying the art at the same time.
Pretty authentic immersion class.
Right, yes, totally. And ancient Roman history, and we just go straight to the ancient Roman Forum. To study. And that was excellent.
I've never seen it. Haven't traveled Europe very much at all myself, but those are all places that are on my bucket list. So you've seen Europe?
Yes.
Other corners of the world?
Yes. So then after the travel bug bit me, so to speak, in college, my first trip after Rome it was to Ecuador, and there I was my only trip to South America before I ended up going to Uruguay. And then after that, I went on a sort of post-college rail trip around Europe, you know, all the way from Morocco to Turkey to Sweden to Ireland, you know, the whole continent.
By yourself?
And at that time, it was with a boyfriend.
Okay.
But former.
Okay, all right.
And then after that, I came back, saved some more money just through babysitting in Chicago because I knew I was sort of committed to continuing to travel in my young years. Everybody says, do it while you're young.
What do they pay babysitters in Chicago?
I know.
Holy cow. See,
part of my story, though, is that I'm a good saver. So it's like $15 an hour at the time, but I can live like a pauper with the idea that these experiences will be so rich.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And then after that, I did an Asia trip where I did China, Southeast Asia, and India overland via bus and train mostly. Then after that, a Middle Eastern trip. And these are long trips, you know, 3-4 months. And then the last sort of set of trips before settling down and having kids was working on organic farms in Italy.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do, an older brother and a younger sister.
Are they in Chicago?
They are both in Chicago, yes.
Okay, all right. That will make it a little easier on mom and dad.
Oh, certainly.
Just
I know.
A little. Not much, but a little.
We always get that question. What about your parents? But we always make the argument that the Uruguayan winter is our summer and our winter is their summer. So if you're a snowbird, as they call them here,
yes.
In Chicago, there's nothing going on in Chicago in January, February, and March. Come to Uruguay. It's the middle of their summer.
Okay.
And come retire there, you know, hang out with us. And they're convinced.
How do I get there?
You fly. And the travel is not easy. I mean, you're going to the opposite end of the world, but you can fly from Chicago to Miami and then Miami direct to Montevideo. That's the capital.
And that's how long a flight?
Miami to Montevideo is 9 hours, but
okay,
we were saying,
okay.
You know, that's kind of like going to Europe. It's
yeah.
not terribly
yeah.
bad.
That's not horrible.
No.
That's as long as I've ever, no, I was on an airplane once a little longer than that. Almost went nuts.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not Asia. It's not like you're
yes,
going 12, 14
or New Zealand.
Hours. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we're a 9-hour flight out of Miami.
Yes.
And once I land at the airport, how long is it going to take me to get to your homestead?
It is about 2 hours in a car. If you're
okay.
taking a bus, it will take longer because, you know, there are more stops. But 2 hours from the capital. However, the other, if you were to fly into Buenos Aires, which is the in Argentina, it's only 1.5 hours from there.
Okay.
So we're kind of in between two major cities. So that was a big thing, too, is kind of still being connected to culture. And
at what elevation is the property?
Like maybe 40 feet or something. It's pretty.
Okay.
It's a pretty flat country.
All right.
Easy to farm.
And your husband, what's his vocation?
He was trained in college as a Spanish teacher.
Okay.
So after he left college, he taught in high school Spanish. And then he came with me to Washington State. That's where I'm getting my PhD in sociology. And he got his master's in foreign languages, which is basically Spanish culture and literature.
Okay.
And then he taught Spanish high school again up until now that we're
okay.
living.
Okay. Here's the first common motivator I found in this whole conversation so far about how a Chicago girl ends up picking Uruguay. They speak Spanish there.
Right.
Your husband's a Spanish teacher.
Right.
That's good.
Right. And it's and it's an easy thing. I mean, if you're trying to think about going to a new place, language is the first thing you've got to think about, you know, unless there's some sort of infrastructure for expats where you can just go to, you know, like Spain.
Right.
You know, a lot of people from England go to Spain, and you've got sort of other people who all speak English who open businesses. But in Uruguay, that's not the case. We need to know the language there.
Now, did you study any languages in high school?
I studied Latin, which was sort of like a good basis, but it's not, you know, useful anymore. And then in college, I studied American Sign Language because I just thought it would be cool to know sign language. But then and once I got into grad school and once we started with the Uruguay plan, and I took 3 semesters of Spanish. So now I'm about an intermediate Spanish speaker, and every time we go, I get a little better.
I took Latin in high school, and all I remember is manus manum lavat.
What does that mean?
One hand washes the other.
Or cave canum, beware of dog.
Beware of dog. That's all I remember of my Latin. I use it almost every day.
Oh, yeah, of course. Why not? So useful.
All right, well, a lot of the world speak Spanish. You could have picked a lot of places mm-hmm. if language was that first criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So out of all the places in the world that speak Spanish or some derivative of Spanish that could be picked up fairly quickly,
mm-hmm.
why Uruguay?
Okay, well, this is the big, you know, million-dollar question. So we had a whole list of things that we were looking for. The first on that list is that's a huge barrier is immigration policy. How easy
sure.
is it to go there and to become a resident to buy land? And that cuts out a lot of places, lots of Europe and Canada. You can't just kind of show up there and stay indefinitely. You have to have, you know, a job or some reason that it's pulling there, something to prove to the government that you're sort of worth their citizenship or residency. Uruguay is very easy to emigrate to. They're sort of a small country in between two powerhouses, Argentina and Brazil. And they have a lot of people coming there to buy land and stay there. And so they've sort of developed their policies with that in mind. They have net negative population growth, so they want people to come.
Net negative.
Yeah, so they don't have population growth.
Interesting.
Their population is
declining.
Decreasing. And so that's kind of ideal for us. So then there's other things. Can we access healthcare? Yes, everybody can access healthcare there.
Okay.
Do you have education? They have education through college, so therefore we can pursue growing food and not have to worry about, oh no, I'm going to have $100,000 saved for each kid for college. So that's another thing. Political stability, they have a democratic republic. That's no problem.
It's been that way for how long? I mean, has that like been for the last 3 years?
Well,
or has that been for the last three decades?
They've had political stability for the last 3 decades, and they've had a democratic republic since their founding over a century. And then the other big thing is climate stability. So that means not a lot of hurricanes or typhoons or tornadoes or landslides or all that kind of stuff. We look deeply into that, you know, in terms of, are we going to build our home from scratch and then have an earthquake take it down, as is common a lot around the world.
Well, Chile certainly has its share.
That's part of the reason we didn't go there. Even Costa Rica, they have some earthquakes and some seismic activity. They've got active volcanoes. So in that way, we're trying to look for some place that's boring. Stable, but boring.
Oh. Now that's a critical component there.
It is.
Because if you would study, I think the last 10 or 15 years in American and global history is going to be a pretty crowded chapter in history, that all that we've seen go down, be built, be torn down, be recreated, it has been anything but a boring last 15 years.
Exactly. And part of what sort of set us on this path was both of us graduated in 2007. We were kids during 9/11, and sort of it's 9/11 and then Hurricane Katrina and then, you know, sort of an economic downturn. And it's one thing after another.
No, it wasn't sort of an economic
it
downturn.
It definitely
was. It
was
a real economic downturn.
Yeah, and it was one thing after another that felt scary and sort of unstable. And then when we decide we definitely want to have kids, but then where can we take these kids to make their childhood sort of safe and stable? And
what is the population of Uruguay?
It is the same as the population of the state of Washington. I think it's something like is it possible that it's only 4 million?
Okay.
I'm always confusing these numbers, but it's small.
And if we compare the state of Washington to Uruguay population-wise, what state in America will we compare its size to?
Washington.
That's about the same size as Washington.
Yeah, so it's a small country, and it's just doesn't have a lot of people. The joke is always there's more cows than people.
Okay.
It's just
That'd be okay with me.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yeah.
It's okay with me, too, because it's sort of like, you know, I love people, and I want to be part of a good community, but I also, you know, don't want to be around unstable people. And in Chicago, there's plenty of unstable people to avoid. And so we're happy to be out of a city situation, too, soon.
So it narrows down to Uruguay between you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so when do you buy your first ticket, and who's waiting for you upon arrival?
Okay, so we bought our first ticket to go visit. I should mention, though, you mentioned Costa Rica. Before we went to Uruguay, we went to Costa Rica to check that out.
Okay.
Because that was another big one that a lot of people have said that.
I have a good friend that moved his entire company to Costa Rica. Employees,
yes.
Everybody
and
moved to Costa Rica.
And it is great, and it's great in a lot of ways. But when we were there, we thought it just sort of looked like it was a little tenuous, you know, like one little earthquake and a lot of stuff would come down. The infrastructure was crumbling a little bit. So we were thinking, oh, I don't know about Costa Rica. They have volcanoes and all this other stuff. So let's check out Uruguay. We went there in 2012.
Okay.
In our northern summer, their winter, which is
Have a Uruguayan that's there giving you a tour?
No.
We're
on our own,
okay.
But we were part of the same organization that I studied or that I used to do organic agriculture in Europe. It's called Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms, WOOF for short.
Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farming.
Yeah. And
okay.
And the idea behind
We've
Wolf.
We've got a boring place that speaks Spanish, that's wild about organic farming, and now we're creating the thread that's going to get you to Uruguay.
Exactly. And so I worked on these organic farms, and this organization has developed to basically bring people who are organic farmers, volunteers who want to travel to that place. So we went and volunteered. You would volunteer on a farm, and then in return you just get room and board. So, but you don't work a ton of hours, maybe 4 hours a day or something, but then you get that rural experience.
Okay.
You get the rural food, you get to stay with a family. So we did that. I did that in Europe, and now we decided to do that in Uruguay. We had to get ourselves there to the farm, though. So we had set that up ahead of time. We're going to go stay on this farm in this rural area in Uruguay and check it out, stay with this person, and then that's a great connection to ask that person, what do you think of this area?
And you're doing that what time of year?
Their winter.
Because your husband teaches school, so you can only get away a big box of time in the summer.
Yes.
So what kind of growing season do they have in their winter?
That's a good question. So their climate is quite similar to North Carolina. So they can continue to grow in a greenhouse in the winter, greens, things like that. So that, and he was mostly doing maintenance, cleaning up, stuff from the summer growing, big growing season.
Got it.
So we went there, we found our way there, and it's funny, you know, in these small towns, I'm sure it's like this in small town America, we said, hey, here's the address. They said, I don't know where that is, the taxi driver. We're staying with the Argentinian guy. An Argentinian came and settled in Uruguay. Oh, yeah, the Argentinian guy. Oh, I know where he lives. Everybody knows everybody, you know, everybody knows, you know, the one Argentinian guy who settled nearby to the beach. So that's where we stayed, and that's how we got there.
How many levels of tyrannical bureaucratic red tape do you have to go through to get title to land ownership?
It was not difficult at all. It was surprisingly not difficult.
Do you pay in American dollars?
Yes, and everything is listed there in American dollars, I believe, because the U.S. dollar is more stable in their minds for big purchases. So cars, land, that houses, all that is in American dollars. So we hired a real estate agent. He took us around and showed us some places. We found one that was a perfect location, had everything we had in mind, and he said, here's what it costs. And we wired the money to a bank account, and then it was ours, you know. And we had to sit in a law office, and they had to read out the contract verbally to us before we signed it. But that was it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And that was it. And we had to fly out the next day. We said, we're flying out the next day. Let's finish up this process. We just sat in a law office, signed the papers, and there we go. It's ours.
But at that point, you still are, have you done the research at that point to really be clear as to what you're going to have to do to let – for Uruguay to let you immigrate in?
Yeah, at that point we had already, before we even took the trip, we knew basically what it would take. We didn't know a lot of the details, but basically that it's possible to become a permanent resident there without problem.
Now, as opposed to some of the countries that are highly desirable to immigrate to, but are very hard to get into, what are some of the criteria the Uruguayan government, am I saying that close to right?
Yeah, that's right.
What are some of the criteria they set? Are there any benchmarks at all?
There are a couple. One is you have to get a criminal background check from either the FBI or when you get there from Interpol, international police.
Yes.
And they just want to make sure you're not a criminal, which, is...
I like that.
That's good.
I like that.
Then you have to have an income requirement of $1,500 a month for a couple, or you have to prove to them or declare to them officially that you plan to open up a business. So that could just be a farming business or whatever it is, to support yourself, just so that they know you're not coming there to entirely live off the lamb, kind of, take all their social services.
What is their social services safety net?
It is quite good. They have universal health care, universal education. Every kid in school gets a laptop when they start school. They're really big on internet connectivity, so they're making the entire country fiber optic internet connectivity. It's sort of like a good place to be involved in politics if you wanted to get something changed at the local level or even at the federal level. They're easy to access. They're easy to get in touch with.
Do you have an idea what the gross national product
of
the country is?
I don't off the top of my head.
Number one export?
I do know their export is beef. I mean, it's agricultural.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing about Uruguay, Argentina too, it's wine and they do grass-fed beef, and it's delicious.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So the growing season is going to be our winter.
Exactly.
Okay, so as we're experiencing winter, you're experiencing growing season. When we move into our summer,
it's their
you'll
winter.
Be moving into winter. Yes. Are there ski resorts in Uruguay?
Not in Uruguay, but in Argentina, which wouldn't be too far. Okay. You're going to the Andes if you want to go skiing.
Yeah, those are big mountains.
Yeah, they're
They've
big.
Got snow there.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. So the land you've purchased, the 9 acres, the Ashley Homestead, 9 acres at 50 feet above sea level.
Right.
No, it's dry land farming, no irrigation. You're going to drill a well for your domestic water supply. How far from a paved road are you?
We are right off of a national highway, maybe about, I'm thinking in meters because they do meters, but maybe 400 meters, something like that.
Access is easy.
Access is easy. We have a well already, but it's, you know, one of those traditional wells, like, you know, one you can fall in. We're going to have to seal that off with the two little kids, but get a pump in there.
And electricity?
Electricity we brought to our property on the last trip there, and that was just a matter of hiring an electrician and bringing it from that main road onto the property. Here's another thing.
Is there a house there now?
There is a house, but it is literally in ruin. I mean, it was a brick house probably built 100 years ago, and it's just got dirt floors, and there's nothing left to it except for we could probably restore it into something like some kind of barn or something like that.
Okay.
Yep.
And you were about to say before I interrupted you.
The other thing is, before we picked a place, we looked at these. This is the amazing thing about the age of the internet. No immigrant in history has, like, done this much research, I feel like. But this Uruguay, we looked at a world map of soil quality, soil fertility. And Uruguay is one of the highest in the world, along with the American Midwest and some places in central China, of soil quality.
Wow.
So that's amazing because we don't really know what we're doing with growing food. So it'll be great that we can just drop a few seeds and some food will sprout up easily because we're Chicago people. We're city kids.
Okay. So I'm talking to a woman from Chicago who is 5'7", 5'8", at least, 5'9", with green eyes and blonde hair. And you're going to Uruguay.
Yes.
Any reason? My daughter just finished a church mission trip to Colombia, and they told the blonde, blue-eyed gals to stick together.
Yeah, there is something to that. So when I traveled around, one place that I went to was Taiwan, and I thought about staying there for a while and teaching English. That's a big thing, teaching English in Asia. But when I was there, I sort of felt like I stood out too much. You know, it's just I'm a head and shoulders above everyone in the crowd. Everyone's looking at me all the time. And I sort of felt like I wanted to find a place where I could fit in. And not just me, but my kids.
Okay.
You know, I've got two little girls. One's got red hair. The other one's got blonde hair. And they both have blue eyes.
Okay.
So I want them to be able to go to school and not feel like the odd man out. So the thing about Uruguay, I don't think a lot of people realize, is that it's 90-something percent European heritage, mostly Spanish, Italian, and in our area, it's Swiss and French immigrants.
90%?
Yeah.
90%?
Yeah, and I guess my understanding, and I could be entirely wrong about this, but my understanding from the people that I've asked there is that there just wasn't a huge indigenous population when settlers arrived. So it was just sort of like, it's not like they wiped out an indigenous population. They were just very, very poorly settled. It just wasn't a highly settled place when settlers came.
Okay, Ashley, you're moving there with two young children and your husband to an undeveloped 9-acre parcel of land with a home that's hardly habitable.
Yes.
And you have to prove a $1,500 a month income. How much in savings are you bringing? How long do you think it will take you to get to at least that standard of living?
Okay, so, well, first of all, the other thing that I've talked to a lot of travelers about is trying to develop some sort of online work, if you can, making money in U.S. dollars. And I have an online teaching job that I can teach sociology, because I have my master's in sociology. I'm pursuing my PhD.
Okay.
Where I can teach online. So for that, I make about $1,800 a month.
Just there
me.
It is. Cha-ching.
So there it is. If you can find some kind of online work like that, then first of all, that you can make that work. But then on top of that, just in case I lost the online job, we had been saving all these years, or, you know, these last 4 years since we decided to buy the land. And I wanted to have $100,000 saved on top of having built some kind of house.
Okay.
We're pretty close to that. I don't know exactly how much the house is going to cost. That's all, and how much furnishing everything is going to be. We have rough numbers, but we're, you know, I think that it, for me, I like to have that buffer. For other people, you could probably, you know, if you end up running out of money, you just have to go back. But I, after making all this effort, I want to stay.
Yeah. So you will remodel the homestead, or you will start from scratch?
We've decided to. Have you heard of a shipping container home?
Yes.
We've decided to go with that.
Okay.
Because it's fast. When we first arrive, we're going to rent a place while we get a shipping container.
Close to the property.
Close to the property. And then while we get a shipping container home put together and then delivered to our property because it's fast.
Where will that come from?
There are a couple of companies in Uruguay across the country that develop these homes and deliver them for you.
Okay. Now, if Ashley has to run to the grocery store to pick up a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, how far do you have to go, and what will you pay for that gallon of milk and that loaf of bread?
That's a great question. So the other thing on our criteria was living close enough to a town that has all the basic services. So this town that we live by is called Nueva Helvecia. Its nickname is Colonia Suiza. It's a Swiss colony. It was settled in the 1860s by Swiss immigrants. And that is about 5 miles away. So we'll have a car, and it's just a matter of a five-mile drive, which is nothing, to get into town. And then to get a gallon of milk, it's a few bucks, just like it is here. And food there is high quality and cheap because they're an agricultural nation, so it's easy to get really good food. The other thing about this particular area is a lot of the Swiss cheese-making practices, those kinds of things, stayed in the family. So people do it, and it's so easy to get, and high-quality food, too.
Is there a tourist industry?
There is. It's quite small because it's kind of off the map. You know, people go to Argentina when they go looking for European culture and wine and tango and that kind of thing. But Uruguay has all of those things. People just don't know about it. In some ways, it's good.
Wow. Well, will you allow us at Roselle and the House to become like pen pals?
Absolutely.
You and your family?
Absolutely.
So we can just kind of stay in touch?
Sure.
When y'all have a mail system?
Yes, we do. We do. Although, the thing about South America, the mail carriers were just on strike the past couple weeks. They strike a lot. So if you send us something, it might take a few longer weeks.
Maybe the internet.
Yeah, maybe the internet would be better.
Okay. All right. Well, we only wish you the very best of success in all your ventures. We would love pictures.
Okay.
We'd love to stay in touch.
Okay.
We'd love to have you back on.
Excellent.
And visit a little bit about how is it meeting your expectations. Because as one that's interested in primarily domestic politics and economic stability, it has been incredibly interesting to me how many good, successful Americans are seriously considering and pulling the trigger and leaving the country.
Right.
And Uruguay just came up over and over and over again. I had to find out why.
Yeah, and it's a great place, and I implore other people to check it out because it is, a lot of people say, I'm going to Canada. Well, I don't know. It's not that easy for us to just show up there. Uruguay, you can kind of just show up. You go on your tourist visa, and then you say, hey, I intend to stay, and they're like, okay.
All right. Well, Miss Ashley, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of what has to be an extremely hectic schedule, and given the fact that you plan on pulling up stakes and flying to your new home here within the next 30 days.
Yes,
you've
December 7th.
You've got to be just hectic.
One-way ticket, December 7th. It's so scary. We pulled the trigger, but we've been planning it for years, so now it's a good time now. And a lot of people have said now, things seem very tumultuous at the moment in the United States. So we're getting more and more people saying, okay, well, maybe you're not as crazy as we initially thought.
Well, we only wish you the best, and
thank
let's
you.
Stay in touch.
All right, we will.
Fantastic.